Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle Dubas right there about a week ago talking about Sidney Crosby and the remaining window and trying to compete with the big dog still here and still playing at damn near the top of his game. It's the PM team. Donnie Football's here fresh off of, was it a long weekend? I don't know, kind of. Thursday's a weird day for 4th of July. I'll tell you who it was a long weekend for. The people that do not work on the air in this building. I walked in on July 5th, Ghost Town. Now, there were a few people, our boss Craig, few salespeople who will remain nameless, even though I should be honoring them, who were in the building that day. But they weren't in there for an overly long period of time. It was very much a business, a white-collar holiday, Donnie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're catching yourself with a nice five-day weekend.
Oh,
in this case.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
4th of July is on a Friday next year, so there's something we can look forward to.
But that's not as good. I think the Thursday is the perfect one. Ah, who's working after the 4th? Who's working on the 5th? I'll just see you on the 8th. That's basically, I think, how it got treated. Pony, by the way, not taking some sort of extended 4th of July holiday. He's on, he's on dad leave, parental leave for the week. And he's, I think, at this game right now, grousing about everything. He can't stop the tweets. When I go on parental leave, Donnie, I was always trying to take a nice even, put the phone down, put whatever down. No, not him. That was Kyle Dubas, though, a week ago, talking about Sidney Crosby. And we start today with that because there's a new report out from Rob Rossi in The Athletic. Sidney Crosby nearing new contract with the Penguins, per sources. Multiple team and league sources who've been briefed on these negotiations have informed The Athletic that they are closing in on a new deal. Rob's just very first sentence and second sentence say that, and then say that the team and the player are confident a deal will be agreed on and formalized soon, according to those sources. This was Dubas, by the way, talking about the specifics of a Sid extension.
It's a private matter with Sid, Pat, and myself and our ownership, and we'll keep it that way.
All right, so he's saying keep it. It's me and the agent and the player and owner and FSG, and it's our business, and we're not going to tell you. But this is the one domino that does need to fall. In Rob's story, he does go on to say towards the very end that both parties here are aware that the longer this drags on with no extension, the more people start to wonder about what Crosby's future here is. I'll throw this out there. Everything in Rob's story that was notable to me was notable because at no point Was there any kind of acknowledgement of how hard of a rebuild this is going to be? All the analysis done in Rob's story, everything he wrote, suggests that Crosby might get a little bump in pay because he's over 35. You can't do any of these goofy deals anymore. The NHL has a very specific rule where you can't just backload deals to try to make them more palatable for your team. Deals that you have, like, essentially no intention to honor, let's say. He goes into all these details. He talks about how at no point does he say, like, hey, both sides know this is going to be a tall order. He talks about it like it could be $10 million for three more years, $10 million annually. We know Crosby's made 8.7 in terms of cap hit in his last two deals because he's superstitious, but Rob thinks this could be primed for a little jump here. Everything I took from the story, everything I took out of it, sort of suggested one thing to me. There is, I think, a disconnect between how people internally with that organization feel about that team's chances and how people on the outside are starting to view the Penguins. On the inside, I get the distinct sense that Kyle Dubas, even though he is aware that they need some serious retooling and that it's not going to be necessarily an easy process, Kyle Dubas thinks he can build a winner here. I don't get the sense from anything he said or anything that gets written about them that he's paying lip service to the idea because he knows that's who he works for now and that's the only expectation ever, is that you always find ways to win. I also get the sense from reading this story that Sidney Crosby genuinely believes that he and the Penguins will compete again. That signing a deal here does not preclude him from competing for Stanley Cups as he enters into his 40s. And that's, like, really what matters here. We're not talking about a team that would be happy to get to the postseason, for whom that would mean something, or win a postseason series. These are not the Columbus Blue Jackets. Hey, let's get in and maybe something cool will happen. These are the Penguins. This is a team where cups were supposed to be not a birthright, but an expectation more years than not. One of the rare teams in any professional sport where you could honestly say about them, they expect to compete for a championship year in and year out. And more or less for the entirety of Crosby's tenure, minus the last couple years, you could squint and make that true. There were even people who shall remain nameless who said they were going to win the Stanley Cup this past year. I wouldn't know any of those people, or maybe I would. And maybe they would normally be sitting in the chair that I'm in right now. But it was notable to me that at no point in this story did Rob hint at, like, the enormity of the task here. How far away, or hint at the idea that anyone involved views this as anything but, we're going to sign him, we're going to lock him up, and then we're going to build a contender around him. That's how they're all looking at it. And that's nice and all, but if you're a fan of this team, I feel like you've probably got a better handle on how things are really going to likely shake out than the people running it do. I get the distinct sense that most fans of the Penguins understand that they will be very fortunate to even get back to a conference final in the rest of Sidney Crosby's career. That's how much work has to be done. Evgeny Malkin's probably a lock to retire after the 25-26 season. Chris Letang has his deal alter a little bit after that season. Crosby wants to play, I would think, even well beyond that. Takes him through that point. And he seems to feel like this team is on the right path to being a contender. They got a lot of work to do. My question would be this, very simply. Crosby is, according to Rob Rossi's reporting, Sidney Crosby and the Penguins are very close to coming to terms, formally getting the I's dotted, the T's crossed on a new contract. Bottom line question is this, 412-928-9370. Because I think the answer, unfortunately, is no, even though I would never put anything past the player himself. But I'll get out ahead of it and say it's no. 412-928-9370. Assuming if and when Sidney Crosby inks this purported three-year deal that seems likely to happen, will the Penguins ever make it back to the Stanley Cup final while he's still wearing their sweater? Has the door fully shut on them getting that close to a championship under Sidney Crosby's watch. 412-928-9370. Like, you would think normally, and by the way, that's the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. They're a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Like, there would be, it would be, I guess, reasonable to think, hey, they can build something around him. This isn't going to be just a farewell tour. This isn't just going to be a nostalgia act while you try to build up youth around him. But that seems more reasonable than real contender forms, coalesces around 87, and team ends up winning multiple playoff series and looking like a serious threat. It looks more likely right now, like the Penguins are just structurally much closer to being a team where Crosby is the novelty that gets fans to come in the door in about 2 years, because he's still playing at a high level, because of course he still will be, and that the team is rebuilding around him, but there's some goodwill because you're getting to watch this guy play the last years of his career out here and still produce, then it does. It looks more likely that that's your situation than it does Sidney Crosby is still the best player on a team that is surrounded by up-and-coming young talent, has figured out its goaltending situation, is getting contributions, significant ones still, in the next 2 years from its aging core of veterans, and retools on the fly into a real nasty outfit that is tough to beat in the Metro and the East. I just have a hard time with that. 412-928-9370 to get involved. Do you think the Pirates, do you think the Penguins will play for another Stanley Cup for as long as Sidney Crosby is still on the roster, still with the franchise? And he wants to play his whole career as a Penguin. That's another detail in this story. It's very obvious that Crosby sees value in there in being a one franchise guy. He thinks that that matters to his legacy. I think there's a loyalty factor here. There's this idea of commitment that he feels obligated, that there's a sense that he maybe doesn't feel obligated to the Penguins, but that it matters to him to commit to them so that they can commit to trying to build something around him. I just feel like that's going to be way more of a one-way street than it otherwise should be. I think if he's that committed to them, I think they're going to have a hard time reciprocating said commitment. 412-928-9370. Donnie, you get this this news here that they're close on a deal. Do you think they ever play for anything significant again for his, let's say he plays, what, would be five more years? He's got one more year left on this deal, so maybe four more. Let's say he plays four more years here. Do they see a Stanley Cup final in his tenure the rest of the way?
I don't know if we see another Stanley Cup final. I think we could see another playoff run that maybe gets them to a Eastern Conference final. But, I mean, right now we're kind of just pulling at straws and hoping that they can win a playoff series. I mean, I know that they gave us back-to-back Stanley Cups within the last decade, but we're kind of reaching that territory that we get on about the Steelers to make that comparison. Like, playoff wins have been dry. It's a little bit different in hockey, obviously. You have a whole series, but playoff series wins have been very dry. I don't know if we see the Penguins get back to the final round, a chance to hoist the Stanley Cup.
Do they even get to an Eastern final?
I think they can maybe get to one in the next 5 years.
So if he tacks on three more years, he'd have two beyond the end of Malkin's contract, and then two beyond when Letang's no movement clause shifts and becomes less punitive. My thing here is he's signing on. It obviously, you know, it matters to him, like I just said, to be a one city guy. And maybe if he wants to, he would have a career here post hockey if he wanted to stay involved at the front office level. It just feels like everything else about them other than his play is slowly going down a hill in the wrong direction. And signing him to a deal that's more or less fair market value or close to it doesn't really do anything to help them alleviate their other issues here. That's what I can't get past here. He seems gung-ho, they seem gung-ho, and everybody else watching on the outside is going like, you sure about that?
Yeah, it depends how much faith you have in Kyle Dubas and I guess Mike Sullivan. I mean, if he's here 5 years from now, then I guess things should have gone in a more positive direction than what they currently are. I have no fear that Sidney Crosby will continue to play at an elite level. Like, that's how much I believe in his ability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just seems like, you know, like a Tom Brady type that... But like he can get close to or well into his 40s and still be a very, very, very good player.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Player.
PM team, we'll be talking a lot of Pirates when that one goes final. Some interesting bullpen usage by the opposition at the moment that is helping the Pirates a lot. But I wanted to talk Sidney Crosby. Rob Rossi, a report out in The Athletic, that a long-awaited, and by long-awaited I mean we talked about it during the season, immediately after the season, and then when we were actually allowed to start thinking about it seriously after the draft and free agency got started, Rob Rossi telling us that the long-awaited Sidney Crosby extension, he's only got 1 year left on his current deal, should be getting close to getting agreed upon, put in ink, etc. Sidney Crosby looks like a 3-year deal probably if and when it gets done. That would take him through the, let's see, 27-28 season. Had to do the math there. Rob floating numbers like about $10 million in average annual value. My question's this. Everybody's saying the right things in this story. All of Rob's analysis suggests that there is a belief at the player level, at the GM level, at the ownership level, that this team can compete seriously for a title in these next 4 years, maybe more than one. Like, they don't fancy themselves a true rebuilding outfit. Do you agree with him? Is he ever going to play for another Stanley Cup during his time with the Penguins? Let's just assume it's 4 years for argument's sake, that he plays into his early 40s and then hangs him up. 412-928-9370. We got Mike in Homestead on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Mosey? What's up, Donnie? Listen, there's absolutely no way, okay? Because, let's face it, they have an ownership group. Let's look at what Fenway, since they've basically taken over, what have they actually done with the Penguins, okay, when it comes down to it? The reluctance not to make the correct calls, like Jari. Jari should be gone by now.
Well, they wanted the core, too. They wanted that core kept intact. It didn't. Crosby didn't have to go in there and put him in like a hammer lock to get them to re-sign Malkin and Letang. The ownership group wanted that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it really has to. What Pittsburgh is set with right now, and I'm not drawing comparisons, Penguins at least have won cups. The thing is, two of the three sports teams in this town, the ownership groups are garbage. Okay. They have the reluctance. You have nutting. And basically, you have two GMs throwing word salad at us. Okay. And as a fan, I've followed the Penguins since, I want to say, probably about the mid-70s. So I've been around, and I've seen the worst, and I've seen the best. And it's frustrating.
The problem
year.
With the Penguins right now, Mike, is they have all the names that brought you the best. You and I think a lot of other people are pretty skeptical that those names collected together are going to do anything great ever again. They're still acting like it's the best, while those names have them hurtling towards a much less sunny future. It just, I don't know. I think that this is one of the rare times I just get the sense that what you're hearing from the team is wildly more optimistic. Like, sometimes you'll hear a team talk about their own fortunes and, okay, they're going to be more optimistic than fans, especially if the fans are skeptical. Or if it's a team like the Pirates that hasn't been good for a while again, and you hear them say, we believe we could do this, this, or this, there's a show me factor there. The Penguins have been good, and not that long ago. Like, it's not a decade ago that they won back-to-back cups. And we might forget this, but some of those playoff exits were actually very surprising when they happened. Like, the more recent ones. They blow a 3-1 series lead, or they just get stomped by the Islanders in 19, or they go reasonably deep and lose the eventual cup champions in 2018. Like, they're not a team that's been getting absolutely pummeled. It's only these last 2 years where they've started to fall off, but I feel like fans are much more cognizant of what that actually foretells and portends than the front office is. Colton is on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Colton.
Hey, fellas. How you guys doing today, man?
Good, man. What's up?
Nothing, brother. So I kind of agree with what Mike's saying, man. It's hard to see the Penguins winning anything other than maybe a playoff game here or there within the next couple of years, but as far as Sid getting a title, it's hard to say he's going to get anything other than, like I said, a playoff win, just for the simple fact that I don't...
Let me ask you something about that. Okay, so you don't think you maybe get a playoff series win. Say they don't go anywhere. Say he's here for the 3 years beyond this year, so it's one more season, then three more, so four. And just say what you get as a fan. I don't know if you go to games, Colton. I don't know if you're somebody that tries to get down there for them or if you just watch on TV. But say all you get out of the next four Penguin seasons is maybe they win a playoff series and Crosby looks like a very good player for all of it, okay? He never really falls off. Uh-huh. If that's all you get, is that enough for you?
Me, personally, no. For the city, probably not. We have high expectations in the city. I mean, I'm sure you understand that. But bigger, it's more than what that tells me for the future, though, is that the Pickering's not ready. If that's what they're doing with Sid, giving him a three-year extension, it tells me some of the younger guys just aren't ready yet. So they need some of that veteran leadership.
Well, no, I mean, they're giving him an extension because he's the franchise. And to be fair to him, I think they're giving him an extension because there's been no actual tangible signs that the man is ready to pack it in. There has been no drop-off in play whatsoever. If he had dropped off in play considerably, the way Malkin kind of did, where, yeah, you could still squint and say, oh, Malkin had 20-plus goals or whatever. But if Crosby was playing more like he was a top 100 player in the league and not a top 10 or top 7 player in the league, I think you'd have a much easier time saying maybe we just need to rebuild this whole outfit around him. It's his level of play that's been the double-edged sword. It's made them continue to believe that they can compete for titles with him as the standard bearer because he's been so good. Mark is on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Mark.
Well, hello. How are you today?
I'm good, Mark. What's going on?
I got two questions for you.
Okay.
Once upon a time, the Pirates put Kent Taulbee in the outfield for one play so they could bring him in again.
Okay.
Could they put a pitcher on first and a pitcher on the pitcher's mound and switch them back and forth?
Just over and over again.
Yeah, so you lefty up the bat, you got to switch to the other pitcher.
No, I'm pretty sure you can't do that. Donnie, have you ever thought about that in your entire life?
Doing that for an entire game?
Have you ever thought about what he just brought up? This is probably bad of me, but I have never paused to think about what he just brought up there. He clearly was calling just to do his own little trivia questions. I've never thought about what he just brought up there for 1 second in my life.
I
remember that guy,
either.
Pat Venditti, who was the switch pitcher, and they made him declare, I think, eventually, because it would get stupid. He'd go up against a switch hitter, and they'd just walk back and forth.
Yeah, I remember those clips.
I'm quite certain that if you had a pitcher that you thought was good enough in the field that you could stick him at first base, a team would have exploited it. So I'm going to pretty safely say, without even having consulted MLB's rulebook, that that is completely illegal now. Would you guess that, Donnie, off the top of your head, to move a pitcher to a position and bring him back in?
I don't think you can do that continuously.
I have never once looked that up, but I feel very comfortable saying that that is not legal. That if the Pirates did that once with DeColvi, that it was quickly outlawed. TJ's in Coriopolis. Hey, TJ.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, TJ. What do you got?
Not even having concerns. So my thoughts on Crosby. Personally, he's my favorite. He's the reason why I started liking the Penguins.
Can you turn your radio off in the background, TJ?
So in my opinion of Crosby, I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, like all day.
You think they're going to win another cup with him?
I definitely believe so, yes. Because when they won those back-to-back cups, like 7 years ago or so, they were at the top of their game. And he's still in his prime. Like, he still has a lot to go. He puts up goals, assists, and points in every single game. Hands down, he's the best Penguins player they've had on that franchise in the last 20 years. So I definitely see them making the playoffs, and I could see them go all the way to the finals and win another cup before he hangs it up.
All right, TJ. The problem is, of course, he's not actually in his prime. He's just playing like it. It could fall off at any time, maybe even next year. And even if it fell off only to the tune of he's a 75-point player, which, by the way, he comes back next year with a chance to go point per game or better for 20 straight seasons, which would break Gretzky's record that he currently shares with Crosby. The rest of the guys on that team are not in their primes. And that is the problem. I'm still reeling from Mark's call. I'm not going to lie. I'm still just... I don't know.
Well, Craig stepped in here, so I was just explaining to him how the call went.
Well, I was, you know what? I'll say something quickly here. We got Sean Gentile in a couple minutes to give us more of a sense of the timeline on Crosby signing an extension, what he sees from this franchise in the next 4 years. I used to handle that stuff much better because I just expected it. When I worked 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. or 2 to 6 a.m., that was called a standard call. I'd have sat there with Mark for 5 minutes and said, let's discuss some of your other thoughts. That's how we got the guy, Donnie, who once told us they should alter baseball by having lefties run down to third base out of the box and righties run to first base. And that it, depending on the handedness with which you hit, you'd have to go around the bases in two different directions. Oh, yes, brother.
That, you just had people collide a
correct.
Second.
Oh, I asked him this. This was drawn out on the air. And I said, can you like really get through the nuts and bolts of this? And he tried to. It didn't work. 412-928-9370 if you want to get involved. It's a Monday in July. I mean, if you got something like Mark had, you think I'm going to turn you down here? Maybe, depending on how poorly it's presented. Fan Hotline here on the PM team is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. On the hotline, we find Sean Gentile of The Athletic just talking about this report from Rob Rossi in The Athletic about a Sidney Crosby contract update. That things seem to be progressing well, steadily, perhaps even quickly, towards a new deal. Sean, what's your understanding maybe of the specifics here? Is it a 3-year deal for sure whenever they get this thing done in your mind, or could they actually try to do something for a little bit longer?
Hold on a second. I'd like to revisit the point that Mark from Swissville brought up.
Ah, yes, please.
When you were taking calls there.
Oh, he was. I didn't even know where he was from. We didn't even put a location. He was like from Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, or parts unknown there.
Did I just fill in the gap and assume he was from Swissville?
Yeah, I was going to say, that could have been just like you having an anti-Swissville bias or thinking that Swissville is full of deep thinkers.
I think what I think should happen is that they should have taken DeColvi back in the day and played him at multiple positions at once like Bugs Bunny. That's what I would have tried.
Now, if he had been getting lit up as a pitcher, would the other team have had that conga line of players going around the little diamond like they would?
Yeah, he would have been getting lit up because he was pitching the ball and also trying to catch it behind the plate as well.
Were you aware of the guy who called me very early in my career with what he called a true revolutionary idea for baseball, which was the depending on the handedness of the batter, they ran a different direction out of the box?
Was that intern Dom at age six coming up with one of his?
It was an older guy who got very upset when I tried to pretend to take it seriously, and then just broke down halfway through and said, "I'm sorry, this is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard." Yeah, he was not happy because he thought he had a $1 million idea on his hands.
Yeah, he started to cry halfway through the call and said, "Like he just got divorced or something. He was having a tough time."
Yes, yeah. Something like that. Probably at 3 a.m.
Crosby.
Yes.
What was the original?
No, just, I mean, Rob's story had it at, 3 years most likely and probably around $10 million. Are you sensing about the same thing in terms of term and amount here?
I think that sounds about right, yeah. A big reason for that is because of the way they have to structure age 35 and above contracts in the league. So we don't need to get too far into it, but that,
can you give us the very Cliff's Notes version of that? Because I alluded to it, but I also did not want to get too far in the weeds.
It basically stops how far down they can drop the yearly salary from year to year. So it stops salary cap hits from getting driven down, artificially, basically. Like, we kind of just saw it with Toronto. They signed Chris Tanev, who's 34 rather, to a long-term deal. So he was just under the cutoff. And everyone kind of realizes that the last 2 years of that, they're going to play someone LTIR or something and have a fake injury. Mm-hmm. It's just a way to drive down the cap hit. But once players hit 35, they're not allowed to do that anymore, because it's like the average salary can only drop by a certain amount of percentage each year, basically.
Sean Gentile of The Athletic joining us. We're talking about Sidney Crosby. One thing I noted when I was just reading Rob's story and kind of reading the way he framed everything and how Crosby and the GM, Kyle Dubas, and how FSG all view like this next phase of his career. And at no point did I get the sense that any of them is waving any kind of a white flag. Instead, it seems like there is genuine belief that they can and will build a contender around him. How realistic do you think that is?
Not particularly. I think they're on the verge of getting passed by a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference. Like, the Ottawa Senators are probably better than them. There's a couple other teams out there. Are they better than Buffalo and Detroit? I'd say so, but probably not by much. Those teams have more young talent, I think, also on the way and more long-term salary cap space. So that's where they are. Like, that's the class that they're in right now. You're talking about them with the Ottawas and the Buffaloes and maybe even a step behind Washington, because Washington, yes, they made the playoffs kind of by fluke last season and sort of by process of elimination, but they also got a lot better over the summer. So for the next year or two, yeah, man, I think they're certainly in a holding pattern. It would be unreasonable to call them, even a legit playoff contender. They're squint and you can see how it works out, but I don't think anybody with any larger understanding of the outlook of the league is going to pick them to make the playoffs regardless of what happens with Crosby.
We know Crosby's a very smart hockey guy in general, smart dude, period, a very proud, competitive guy. Do you think it's reasonable if I were to say that his own ability to continue kind of like beating Father Time and being great into his late 30s is almost clouding his vision as to what's possible for the team around him, because he figures, hey, I'm still doing it. If I'm still playing this well, like, we can do this somehow, and that's just not realistic?
I think that's a good question. I think there's probably a little bit of that because, look, man, the dude's about to turn 37 years old, right? And that is... he's past the point really now where we've seen players, maybe not quite at this caliber, but pretty close to it, have fallen off dramatically. Right? Like, Joe Sakic was a great player, or, is a great example. MVP caliber player when he was, 35, and then he had 36 and it was over. We saw it with Yzerman. We've seen it with, top 10, top 15 players in recent history who they have it until the second they don't. And then all of a sudden it's just, it's over in the blink of an eye. He's already outpaced that, and I think part of that is, because of how smart he is. Part of it is how dedicated to his training he is. honestly, part of it's due to how healthy he's been, how physically healthy he's been really since the concussion saga. So I think he's outpaced some of his competitors already at this point, which I think, you know, of course you're going to be optimistic, right? Like if you're 37, if you're great when you're 36, you're going to assume that more is on the way next year. There's really no reason not to. But yeah, I think that probably plays a part. How could it not? The dude's already, you know, like I said, he's doing stuff that we haven't seen from elite players in his age bracket, really. So I can understand why he thinks that he could outkick it for another year or two or three or however long we're talking here.
Here's a little in the weeds part of this. We know he wants to play his whole career with Malkin and Letang, that means a lot to him. Obviously, being in Pittsburgh means a lot to him, too, by all accounts. Like, you just kind of use context clues. Little nugget here, though. Malkin's deal's done after two more seasons, and then he presumably retires. It would be a shock if anything but that happened. But then Letang's no movement clause becomes a little bit less rigid, and he actually has a list of 10 where he could approve a trade. Do you think that there would be motivation on the Penguins' part, especially not knowing how these next 2 years would go, to try to deal Letang as soon as they can actually, you know, feasibly do it?
It's a good question, I think that it kind of goes both ways. You know, like what is Chris Letang thinking in 2 years? Potentially, that's where the timeline lines up. Is after this coming season, and then one more. Is if this like quasi soft rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it, works out, we're gonna start seeing signs of it 2 years from now. And you can see what the Penguins are trying to do, right? They're trying to tread water, see what happens. Don't do anything crazy for the next 2 years, and then once you know they turn the page on Malkin and potentially Letang. That's when, you know, the next phase would kind of start with Crosby, you know, say 1 year into a 3 year extension.
Sean, last thing for you. I know that whenever we on the show do something that could be, I don't know, perceived as out there, just plain dumb, ridiculous or whatever, you're always very quick to pounce and be interested in it. Your thoughts on last week's hot dog eating contest won by previous unknown T-Bird?
Where did T-Bird come from? Is it like you said, parts unknown when it came to Mark the Caller? Is that where T-Bird's like T-Bird's?
I think he came from like a Grateful Dead show or something like that, or you know, some sort of music festival where there are certain things wafting through the air. I think that's probably where he emerged from.
I was just happy that Donnie finished strong. Honestly, it was a disappointing start for the lad, but he's right there. Right, if he finished five, didn't he?
He would have been in second or third. He would have probably been on the medal stand had this gone a little bit longer. Wait, were you tied for third, Donnie? What were you?
Well, I was tied for second with Harry.
Tied for second, so you were on the medal stand. You would have, I think, gotten solo second.
I would have passed Harry. Sean, you should have been here to see it. He hit a wall like I've never seen somebody hit before.
I watched it. Are you kidding me? I watched it. I watched it on the live feed and listened on the app as it was going on. I don't know why I wasn't there.
You were invited. You were invited to be a guest of the hot dog eating contest as a guest of mine.
I made the mistake of telling my girlfriend that we had the invite, and she found out after the fact and was basically like what is wrong with you? Why are we not there right
now? Was she backing a certain horse? Was she very much like in the corner of one contender?
Brother, she was all callous all day long.
He
made a fan of her very quickly and then disappointed her just as quickly on the back half.
He had a rowdy rooter contingent, and I think we felt like it actually worked against him, that he felt too much pressure. There were a bunch of women from the office cheering him on, and he said, "I didn't want to puke in front of all of them."
I think that's what you saw from a lot of guys. They were weighing the economics, you know, the economical choice of, do I risk throwing up on camera and in front of all my coworkers, or do I max out here? It's understandable.
And T-Bird maxed out. All right, Sean, thank you very much. Appreciate it as always.
Bye now. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.